Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, the latest recall of sanitising products from schools has been described as farcical by the Social Democrats. 52 items have been removed from the approved list of PPE. The funeral of Tighean Dermot O'Sullivan has heard of the shock, numbness and devastation and was impossible to imagine the loss of three lives, and it's incomprehensible. And the Bishop of Raphoe has stated that there should have been more consultation with religious leaders over the Living with COVID plan. And Chris Ashmore will be here with all the latest in sport at about 5:15, and we will have you nuked as well with Colm Ferriter. But first in news, the latest recall of sanitising products from schools has been described as farcical by the Social Democrats. 52 items, which includes wipes, detergent, soaps and hand sanitisers, have been removed from the approved list of PPE. The Education Minister says it's because of a licensing issue and that there's no suggestion the products are unsafe. Social Democrats education spokesperson Gary Gannon says some schools will struggle to find replacements before reopening on Monday.
It's a farcical situation. It's going to be devastating, fortunately devastating to morale and confidence in our school community, where school leaders, teachers, SNAs, the whole host have been working miracles to keep the doors open to their schools. And in many ways, they're feeling like they've been left behind. And this is going to further erode that confidence from those individuals in the Department of Education and its leadership.
The funeral of Tighean Dermot O'Sullivan has heard that the shock, numbness and devastation was impossible to imagine, and the loss of three lives incomprehensible. The father and son have been buried today after a family tragedy near Kanturk, County Cork, earlier this week. Trish Laverty reports.
Parish priest Father Toby Blewett has told the congregation they'd gathered today to make sense of the senseless. He described the burden of grief as overwhelming and said the normally tranquil local area and the autumn light was for a time a very distant memory. Tig was described as accommodating and friendly, while Dermot was due to be conferred online next week, having finished his accountancy at CIT. Father Blewett said the tragedy of this week reminds people that God's will is not always done on earth. Mark O'Sullivan will be laid to rest tomorrow.
The Bishop of Raphoe has stated that there should have been more consultation with religious leaders over the Living with COVID plan. Under the plan, the number allowed to attend religious services like masses, weddings and funerals varies depending on the level of restrictions. At a meeting this week between church leaders and the Taoiseach, the effect the current level 5 restrictions are having on the well-being of the faith community and the great desire to return to worship as soon as possible were highlighted. Bishop Alan McGuckian says while difficult decisions have to be made by government, more consultation is needed.
I've had a lot of people call me and a lot of people write to me, expressing a whole range of emotions, that there's anger and frustration on the part of some, just hurt on the part of many. Like the people who say, masses, prayer, Sunday mass and prayer is just so central to me that I cannot be without it. Is one voice I have heard, and I really want to stand with those people. At the same time, I really respect those in government who have difficult decisions to make, who are recognizing competing calls from various sides. The only thing is, I think with a real consultation and a real analysis, we find that our churches now are very safe places. There is no evidence, to my knowledge, that I have heard of any contagion coming out of attendance at church. And that is because so many volunteers and so many priests in all our parishes, and indeed in the other Christian churches. Over the summer, I was in other Christian churches, and I saw, particularly in the Church of Ireland, I just saw how deadly seriously they take this. I want to recognise this is a unique moment in our nation's history, in the world's history, and hard decisions have to be made. But I do call for, and I really do call for, real consultation and a real listening.
A murder investigation's underway in South Dublin following the deaths of a mother and her two children. Postmortems have been completed on the bodies of 37-year-old Seema Banu, her 11-year-old daughter Ashfira and 6-year-old son Faizan. Cleona O'Dwyer reports.
Seema Banu and her two children Ashfira and Faizan were discovered dead in a house at Llewellyn Court in Ballantyre just before midday on Wednesday. Gardaí say the postmortem examinations have been completed on their bodies, but the results aren't being released for operational reasons. A murder investigation has been launched this evening and Gardaí are continuing to carry out door-to-door inquiries and are interviewing witnesses. They're also examining all relevant CCTV images and saying no arrests have been made. Anyone with information in connection with their deaths is being asked to contact the investigation team at Dundrum Garda Station.
The Taoiseach is not ruling out a state apology to survivors of mother and baby homes. The government is due to receive the final report of the Commission of Investigation into mother and baby homes today. The 4,000-page report will be reviewed by the Attorney General before it's made public, which could take a number of months. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the government will review the report before responding.
We have to look at the report itself, and we will just suffice to say we will be making a very comprehensive response to this. I don't want to obviously preempt the report itself. I'd like to read it myself, and certainly we won't be found wanting in terms of a comprehensive response.
South Innishowen is now the local electoral area with the highest COVID-19 14-day incidence rate in Donegal. With most of the county having recorded a fall this week, the incidence rate in both Letterkenny and South Innishowen has increased. The latest figures cover the 14 days up until last Monday. Michaela Clark has more.
South Innishowen now has an incidence rate of 603.6 per 100,000, the highest in the county. But Letterkenny recorded the biggest jump countywide, going from 275.3 per 100,000 last week to 443.1 cases, according to the latest data. All other areas have recorded falls this week, with Lifford Stranorder seeing a big drop. Its incidence rate now stands at 305.1 per 100,000, compared with 509.9 last week. North Innishowen decreased to 247.6 per 100,000 from 336, while Donegal's incidence rate is currently at 264.2 cases per 100,000, compared with 320.9 in the previous data. Meanwhile, Glenties has recorded an incidence rate of 112.9 per 100,000, a fall from 154.7, while Milford has also fallen to 94.4 cases per 100,000, compared with 116.2 last week.
A Donegal deputy is calling on the government to lift taxes from pandemic unemployment payments in the run-up to Christmas to keep more money in the local economy. Deputy Thomas Brinkle said that finance bill next week includes a section on taxing the COVID payments. While these payments have been taxable since the crisis began, he believes there is a case to be made for lifting the tax liability now. With many Donegal businesses suffering from the impact of the pandemic, Deputy Pringle feels now is exactly the time that the government should be trying to keep as much money in the local economy as possible.
Yeah, I think it's vitally important in the finance bill, which will be discussed next week in the Donegal government. Includes a section in the Act to allow them to have taxation off the payments which have been paid to people since the start of COVID. Now, everybody has known that the payments were going to be taxed and probably most people have been expecting it, but I think that the decision should be taken really to keep the tax off the COVID payments to encourage people to spend money over the Christmas period.
It is as important now more than ever to ensure that we do support local businesses and that they are supported during this difficult time, especially ahead of the Buy Donegal weekend, which has been campaigned.
Yes, that's right. I think that would go a long way towards encouraging people to spend at home and to look after the local businesses. And as well, just remember too that, you know, that you might have known this is coming, but it will still provide the occurrence time that maybe people might refuse to spend because they want to wait and see how much they're going to owe and how much they're going to pay, you know. So rather than having people being cautious and wait.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Support local and get everything you need this Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And we cross over to sport now with Chris Ashmore.
Well, coming up, we'll be looking at the action this weekend. Some big games ahead in Gaelic football, hurling and soccer. But firstly, let's bring you right up to date with the latest sports headlines. We begin with soccer, and World Cup winner Nobby Stiles has died, a combative midfielder. He was part of the Manchester United side that won the European Cup back in 1968. He won 28 England caps and was part of their triumphant 1966 squad. Stiles was also a brother-in-law to Republic of Ireland legend Johnny Giles. Meanwhile, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has confirmed that Fabinho will miss tomorrow's Premier League visit of West Ham. The Brazilian limped out of Tuesday's Champions League win over Midtjylland with a hamstring injury. In the Premier League tonight, Wolves welcome Crystal Palace to Molineux. A win for either of them could see them going second in the table. Kickoff there is at 8 o'clock. And Mick McCarthy is due to be confirmed as the new manager at Cypriot side Apoel Nicosia tomorrow. The former Republic of Ireland manager will be on hand to watch them in action against the tabletoppers Apollon Limassol. In cycling, Primoz Roglic is the new leader of the Vuelta a España. He won today's 10th stage to depose Richard Carapaz at the top. Dan Martin of Ireland remains third on general classification and is 25 seconds off the lead. In golf, Padraig Harrington remains 4 under par, 6 holes into his second round at the Bermuda Championship. A second round 74 sees Seamus Parr end the day on 1 over par. And a second round of 70 has left Ryan Armour as the clubhouse leader on 8 under. In boxing, Michael Conlon's world title eliminator with Isaac Dogbo is off. The Belfast lightweight suffered an ankle ligament injury in training and will be out for up to 12 weeks. Well, let's turn our attention now to what's a busy weekend in sport. And of course, taking pride of place in the Northwest is that clash between Donegal and Tyrone in Balbofey on Sunday. Ulster Senior Football Championship action quarterfinal. And as part of our countdown during the week, we've been looking forward to the game and hearing from some of the key personnel. Well, Donegal manager Declan Boner knows it'll be quite a tactical battle against their great rivals. Much has been made of the threat posed by Tyrone forward Conor McKenna, but Boner points out that this Tyrone side has plenty of quality.
Tyrone have a huge amount of quality within the team. You know, you look at the likes of Matty Donnelly and P.D. Hart and Tiernan McCann, Michael McKiernan. You know, you have players and you have quality players, Darren McCurry, you know, all over that team, Niall Flodden. So they're, you know, really, really good side. And as I say, yeah, Conor's come in and he's given them an extra probably focal point in attack, but it makes them more dangerous. Yeah, they're a dangerous opposition, and we know that. And they were always going to be dangerous. So yeah, no, listen, as I say, it's going to be interesting tactically, and as I say, it'll go down the wire. I would say down to 75, 76 minutes or whatever length of time the game will last next Sunday. That'll go right to the wire. It's going to be another tactical battle, whether they push up or sit back, or, you know, we've got to deal with whatever challenge faces us, and, you know, we're getting ready for that challenge. And as I said, both teams do know each other inside out. They know the individuals, they know the team, the game plan. So we do know each other fairly well. So it's going to be another tactical battle on Sunday.
And throw-in is at 1:30 on Sunday. Oisin Kelly and Brendan Kilcoyne will be the commentary team for Highland Radio. Our coverage brought in association with Gal Oil. Do tune in for that. Now, staying with the Ulster Championship, Monaghan play Cavan tomorrow afternoon in Clonus. Throw-in is 1:15 for that one. And on Sunday, Derry are in action against Armagh in another quarter-final clash. Derry looking for a first Ulster Championship win since 2015. Chrissy McCaig says Derry will be a match for Armagh if they have everyone available and are on their game.
We had obviously big aims this year to get out of Division 3, and we probably messed up that, you know, in the first two games, taking 1 point from it. So you'd much rather be in Armagh's position. They are on a crest of a wave to a certain extent. But in saying that there, we know one or day, if we can get everybody out fully fit and motoring well, we're a match for most of them, you know. So we had a reasonably good showing last year against Tyrone and the Championship, off the back of a Division 4 campaign where we got through relatively easily. So Ulster football is usually always very, very competitive. So if we can bring that competitive level to the game against Armagh, then we get to see where that takes us. There's no point in preempting what will happen or what won't happen. We know Armagh are favourites. That's grand. They have earned that right to be called favourites. So for us, it's about going and making as competitive as possible. And if we can use home advantage to any type of advantage, then, you know, we will certainly try and use that.
Chrissy McCaig there. Well, Mayo manager James Horan has named his side for Sunday's Connacht football quarterfinal with Leitrim. Seven players are set to make their championship debuts, including Westport duo Rory Brickenden and Owen McLaughlin. Killian O'Connor's named at corner forward, having missed last week's league defeat to Tyrone. Action as well in Leinster, with Louth taking on Longford, Wexford meet Wicklow, and Offaly in action against Carlow. And in the Munster Senior Championship, Tipperary will be facing Clare. And moving on to hurling, well, Donegal take on Armagh in the Nicky Rackard Cup at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny tomorrow. It's a 1:30 throw-in for that one. After beating Longford last time out, this will be an even sterner test. Well, manager Mickey McCann says that Armagh are no strangers to Donegal.
We know one another very well at this stage, and I suppose they turned us over the first day in the league this year. We'll be one of that game's favourites, but They put on a good performance, but it's the 5 or 6 points, Tom. So they're definitely a good output, very physical, and they want their hurling. Now, you know, it maybe suit them a wee bit more, but and saying that, going into the league final, then, you know, we turned them over. So it's 1-8 this year, and we were preparing for them in the original Nicky record. I know we were supposed to be away to them, Tom, until the virus thing changed all the fixtures, you know. So we just kind of seemed to dodge them, you know. Very little in the two teams, and we got the home advantage out of it, and you'd be hoping that it'd be worth a couple of points to us and might see us out of the game, but Armagh won't fear us.
Mickey McCann speaking with Tom Comack. Also in the Nicky Rackard Cup, Tyrone and Mayo meet. That game has a 2 o'clock through in. Derry meet down in the Christy Ring Cup at tomorrow, 1:30 start for that. And there's action in the Leinster Hurling Championship. Dublin and Kilkenny and Galway and Wexford. In Munster, it's Cork against Waterford. And also just to let you know, in the Munster Senior Football Championship tomorrow, it's Waterford and Limerick. Well, in ladies football, the Donegal side are out against the Dubs. They're in a group with Waterford and Dublin, and the first match in the group is at Kingspan Breffni Park in Cavan tomorrow. Dublin are going for a fourth All-Ireland in a row. Donegal manager Maxi Curran knows that they are the underdogs.
We've played in the last 6 All-Ireland finals, you know, so there's a huge amount of experience and know-how, and you know, the ability to win big games. And look, they also have a brilliant manager, Mick Bowen. Probably would get 95% of the men's county jobs in the country, you know, if he went to them. Very highly regarded part of Jim Gavin's men's backroom team in the early time of his reign as well. So listen, they're exceptionally well prepared, they're exceptionally well organised, and they know they're each other's games so well, and that's a massive challenge for us. But again, it's one where, you know, we're looking forward to. You know, the days we have stumbled in the past have been the days when people have been, you know, writing us up, and the hype has been high, and look, this time there's very little hype about us. Nobody's giving us a prayer, you know. Look, there's no pressure on us, really. It's just it's a great opportunity for our guard to go and, you know, pit themselves against the best team in the country at the minute.
And throw-in tomorrow is at 5 o'clock. The Ladies All-Ireland Senior Championship actually gets underway tonight with action in Group 4. In Round 1, Tyrone take on Armagh. And that game is in Cavan and is at 7:30 this evening. Moving on to soccer, and later on this evening, 7:45 start at Windsor Park, Linfield and Crusaders in the Irish League Premiership, and 5 matches on tomorrow afternoon. The FAI Cup's first quarterfinal is on this weekend. Athlone Town and Shelburne meet tomorrow at 7:45, and it's another big weekend for Finn Harps. Harps taking on Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. Well, Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan has a habit of building sides that really deliver the goods in the second half of the season, and it's been a case of that again this year, as the Donegal club find themselves on a great run that has suddenly left Shelburne, Derry City, and to a lesser extent St Patrick's Athletic Celtic all looking nervously at the remaining fixtures. Harps are now just 2 points adrift of the trio just mentioned, and having lost just once in their last nine competitive outings, well, who knows what could happen. Champions Shamrock Rovers come to Finn Park on Sunday, and it mightn't be the banker away win that most would have thought about a few weeks ago. Nevertheless, Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan is playing the possibility of another Harps upset down, as he says here.
Look, being blunt about it, we're down bodies. With a bit of a dilemma, we go against Shamrock Rovers on Sunday, which is a free game. There's no point in saying anything different. That's a write-off 9 times out of 10. You know, we'll take a cut off it. It's probably a bridge too far. The game against Waterford will be a massive game. The difficulty is, even if we win it, which is a massive if the results don't go our way, we then have a huge playoff, and we need to manage it, and we have a number of people that are long-term out injured now. We have a lot of people that are now looking at a suspension, which unfortunately will kick in a very, very important game. You know, this will go to the wire, Dermot, and it very probably will go to a one-off playoff game, and that we need bodies, people on the pitch that are available for us, not sitting in the stand.
And that was Ollie Horgan speaking to Dermot Doherty. That interview in full, and the other interviews that you've also heard this evening on the Highland Radio website. Ollie Horgan mentioned there the First Division playoffs. The semi-finals have been confirmed. They take place tomorrow. Bray Wanderers against Galway United and UCD against Longford. Whoever emerges victorious in those two games then meet each other, and the winners of that game will take on the side that finishes second bottom in the Premier Division. By the way, Finn Harps, Shamrock Rovers, full commentary on Highland Radio on Sunday evening. Coverage starts at 7:35. Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle, your commentary team there. And finally this evening, let's finish on a positive note. In racing, Oisin Orr had another winner today. The Donegal Jockey Road Bridge native, an 11-1 shot to victory in the Ladbrokes Handicap Chase at Down Royal. And that is your Friday evening sport.
Thanks, Chris, and we cross over to Newark now with Colm Ferriter.
Shewer Mahasa Colm Ferriter and Charlotte the Priest Guilty Air Highland Radio. Tasha Fogriha Goal Udras Nigeltakta Akurtu Inkur Fobol Nigeltakta Agostratish Nahagriakta A Alvu Don Trevsha Fiha Fiha Sahenguji Fiha Fiha Sukuig Bein Stratish Boniha and the Tami Komasu Nyartu Agus Unwuniakt. Major Le Press Ratchis the Kajanudarish Karhi Falcher of Hurami a winnin Le Ferberchi August Takiokti Le In Warhanukt Nagantra Geltakta Marfobble in a Will and Giliga Marfriv Hanga Untu Is Fager Malti a Kursh Anul Riven Trio Lajeg the Mina Sauna Stilu Egg Siv an Udarish. In Ochaj Erlina inu, Kjolan Tukteran, Michal D. O'Higgin, and Concise English Irish Dictionary go Hafigul, Tanaklors Nua, Tamila Orgid Lahana, Bresh is Trohavila Antral, Agus Ehin, Poncha a Hocht Million Fakal in Merla, Agus in Yelige na Linyasha, Forest Nigelige Adalshi and Faklors, and Cade Kun Burla Gelige de Lehage, a Falsu Labresh, a Shaska Blion Nuus. Esse Geltert Runanal, Tasil Ur Rot, Katia will to Fanakt, and Priv Chakterakt, and Factus Urata Shota Agudrus Nigeltakta, Condini Avalu and Shah, Concajan Nis Seal Nisfar Awinchama. Taharik Sulgo Malhi and Factus Boiled and Fubbled Yeltukta Tanagoni and Achaha Ella and Yerin August and Diaspora Fodondoin Marain. Carter Bamer Ashina August Efect and Vonager Technoliokta Atarfoil Snakanter Yeltukta Fuilahar. Fogriu Buachuri Gradam Commersaj Arctus Nigeliga Fiha Fiha Exharmanus Erlina Lalin Shaktinya Tri Hatagor Jegs and Omlan of Vion Emliana. Ronu Book, Gradam, Commerce, and Arctus, Anya, Nicharan, Ogidor, Krailtor, Ajiri Yas, Emliana, and Yedia Yas, Gor, Bliana, Kaihu, the Radio Nigeltakta, Agus Parsa Radio Bliana, Anya, Ni Vreslin, Askidor Fosta, Agus Jiri, La Rulia Bulla, Highland Radio, Saranog, Clar, is Far, Station Tractala, Shimmahodja, Eligulier, Slan, Agus Bannacht. We'll be right back.
And finally in weather, a dry and cold start tonight with some clear spells. However, wet and very windy weather will sweep in later in the night, with strong to gale force south to southwest winds developing by dawn. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. And the closing headlines, the latest recall of sanitising products from schools has been described as farcical by the Social Democrats. The funeral of Tighean Dermot O'Sullivan has heard that the shock, numbness and devastation was impossible to imagine, and the loss of three lives incomprehensible. And the Bishop of Raphoe has stated that there should have been more consultation with religious leaders over the Living with COVID plan. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Back with the headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Friday evening, October 30th. The death has taken place of Jim Rorty, 8 Cedar Park, Strabane, and formerly of 24 Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Funeral leaving Quigley's funeral home on Sunday at 25 past 1 for Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Director, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Jean Finlay, Carnoan, Raphoe. Her remains are reposing at her late residence from this evening. Funeral from there on Sunday at 1 o'clock for service in Carnoan Presbyterian Church at 1:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to immediate family only. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Bull McGarrigle, 2 Spring Hill, Strabane. Funeral from the home of his daughter and son-in-law, Marie and Noel Maguire, 19 Drumrella, Strabane, on Sunday at 10:30 for funeral mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are strictly private to immediate family only. The funeral mass can be viewed via the parish webcam at mcnmedia.tv/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. The death has taken place in Boston of Mary Maeve McLaughlin, daughter of the late Lizzie and Joseph McLaughlin, Clamperlin Buncrana. Remains will repose at St Mary's Church from 7 p.m. this evening, with Requiem Mass there on Sunday at 11 a.m, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill and select the mobile option. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the funeral is strictly private to family only. The death has taken place of Tina Brogan, 16 Meadowbank, Letterkenny. Funeral leaving her parents Michael and Mary Brogan's home at 55 Dr McGinley Road, Glencar, tomorrow morning at 10:30. Going to St Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock funeral mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to St Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. In compliance with current government and HSC guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment will be private to family only, please. The death has taken place of baby Theo Robinson, 29, Ardmullen Convoy, son of Donna Robinson and Paul Houston. Reposing at the residence of his grandparents Willie and Isabel Leckie, Finadirk Convoy. Interment tomorrow at 2:30 in Convoy Presbyterian Church in the family plot after private service. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Tom Hamilton Shakespeare, 14 Linen Green, Sion Mills, and formerly of 45 Tullymone Road, Erney. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow at 11:30 for service of Thanksgiving in Christchurch, Erney at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Erney Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Director Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. And the death has taken place of Evelyn Rahu, née McDevitt, 14 Derry Road, Strabane. Removal from Quigley's funeral home this evening at 5:30, going to the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Dr. Finnegan and his team in the Haematology Department, Belfast City Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Director, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, churchservices.tv/Lickpatrick.